You're listening to the Raising Empowered Humans series here on the Chat About Children podcast. Let's chat.
Discover children at a whole new level. Be empowered to grow with the children in your life. Welcome to Chat About Children with Sonia Bestelich.
Thank you for joining me for this very special series, the Raising Empowered Humans series. The intention of this series is to share powerful conversations with heart-led leaders, entrepreneurs, experts, innovators, and imaginators who share their stories, philosophies, practices, and principles when it comes to raising empowered humans. This series aims to inspire and energize parents, carers, and professionals who work with children to leave a legacy of raising children who are of highest service to themselves and to the world. Now, I do welcome you to sign up to my newsletter at soniabestelich.com for transformative tips, tools, and strategies to help you be more empowered in raising empowered humans. Let's get this episode started. Welcome to this episode all about the power of your thoughts and words. Essentially, it's about the energy or the energetics of your self-communication and your communication generally with others, especially the children in your life, and especially on this quest that we are on to raise empowered humans. Now, the art and the science of mastering the energetics of your thoughts and words, this is really a life skill. It's a life skill that makes all the difference in the quality of the relationship that you have with yourself. And of course, it's a beautiful model for your children or the children who you work with in providing a positive and healthy relationship that they can also aspire to and practice within their daily lives within themselves. So today, it's all about introducing you to the energetics of your self-communication and really have you appreciate the absolute power that thoughts and words have in transforming not just our inner world, but our outer reality as well. So I want to start by really opening the lens that you have on self-communication, because people often think of self-talk, you know, or having positive self-talk, and there's a familiarity of mantras or affirmations. But today I want to take you a little deeper, because understanding the energetic principles around this is not only a super empowering tool for yourself, but it certainly is something that our children, as early as possible, we want to have them understand their creative ability as well and their ownership in co-creating their lives as they grow, learn, and evolve. So let's dive into a little bit of the quantum science of our thoughts. And why is this so important? Because every day our minds are pretty much flooded with thoughts. You know, it might be about the mundane things that we have to do, and it can then vary to more deeper contemplations or reflections, you know, about what's going on in the world around us. And according to research, the average person has around 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day. But the real concern is that around 75% of these thoughts are negative, and 95% of the thoughts are repetitive. So, of course, you can imagine with that high amount of negative and repetitive thoughts going on, this can really significantly impact our mental health, our happiness, our overall quality of life. And of course, it starts by impacting the relationship we have with ourselves. And so, going right to the core of really nurturing our self-communication, and not just as a one-off, but as practicing it as a way of being, really is a true core ingredient to nurturing that unconditional self-love and acceptance, which is what we're aiming for in raising empowered children. So if we think about thoughts and we consider the quantum science around the fact that everything is energy, everything, you know, tables, chairs, books, everything you can see, everything you can't see is energy. And so this includes our thoughts as well. And our thoughts are very much, you know, what we call a measurable photon pattern. You know, there's equipment and tools that can actually measure it. They're not contained in your head, I guess, is the first thing that I want to say in this 101 Energetics of Self-Communication episode. Everything starts with the energy of a thought. So our thoughts are what we call electrical energy. And then the emotion that is linked to that thought, that amplifies it. And then any action you take increases the momentum. So some of you may know the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, for example. So he talks about thoughts as the electrical charge in the quantum field, and that feelings are the magnetic charge in the quantum field. So that the thoughts we think actually send out an electrical signal, and the feelings we generate magnetically draw events back to us. And so this creates that kind of thought energy field around us. And this is a concept that I have actually introduced to my kids. I've shown them images, you know, here's what the energy field looks like around your body, and to have them start to widen their lens that they are more than just the physical body that they feel that they're living in. So I guess I bring that up because it really has for them widened their perspective in terms of who they are and how they operate and function in the world. But first up, when we're really thinking about our thoughts as energy, our emotions as that kind of magnetizing experience that is created from a thought, it really becomes quite clear that it's like we're broadcasting consciously or subconsciously on a daily basis. We're broadcasting into the energy field, the greater energy field, what's going on within us. So if we were to consider a basic kind of cycle, or the cycle that happens when we have a thought, or even, you know, a belief that we might hold, that then creates a feeling, and that feeling then creates an action, and the action then creates a result. So understanding this cycle is obviously super empowering. And look, for some, it can be a little bit confronting as well, to be quite honest. And this is where, you know, you want to take baby steps. If this is all new to you, take baby steps into just being curious. So let me share an example of this. If we imagine a girl, we'll call her Jackie, and she's an actress and she goes to audition for a role. And when she auditions for the role, she's rejected. So if she has the thought to herself, oh, I'm not a good actress, I'm not good enough to be an actress, there must be something wrong with my acting. So if she has that thought, that would create a feeling within herself of self-doubt, of discouragement, which would then lead to an action where potentially Jackie's saying, well, you know what, I'm just not going to try. I'm not going to audition again. And then the result is that she's definitely not going to get a part in the future. And so you can see how that cycle manifests itself. So her giving up might be a way that she's, you know, protecting herself against more disappointment. However, she could challenge that thought. So if she's thought to herself, so cycling back, if she's thought to herself, oh man, I got rejected from that audition, you know, maybe I'm not a good actress. If she's come in then and then interrupted that thought and said, well, hang on, I didn't get the audition, I don't know that it's true that I'm not a good actress. And she can then start to consider things to give her evidence around that. So it could be, you know, I've had other roles that I've achieved successfully. I had good feedback from the people auditioning, even though I didn't get the part, and I felt that feedback really resonated with me. And with that, it creates a different feeling. It creates a feeling of encouragement. It creates a feeling of possibility, and it creates a different action where she might say, okay, well, I'm going to look for what other parts are coming up, and I'm going to look at refining any of the aspects I feel I need to refine before I audition for those other parts. And then she would surely have more of an opportunity for a different result from that change or that interruption in that initial thought that she had. So I'd love for you to consider or keep in mind this cycle of Understanding that your beliefs and your thoughts create a feeling within you. And that feeling within you then creates an action, and that action then creates a result. And so that is a cycle that is super powerful to be aware of and to start having that consciousness of what am I thinking and how has this impacted along the line my feelings, my actions, and my results. Now, I want to share with you an example of a child who I saw within my speech pathology clinic many, many years ago. And he's really someone who stood out to me. And I have seen, gosh, thousands of people within my speech pathology work and also within my intuitive life coaching work on their journeys of transformation. And this little boy that I want to share this story with you about, he, at the time, he would have been about 7 years old. And I had a call from his mum to the clinic. And while taking the referral, I said, "Who's referred your son and what's the concern?" And she said, "Well, he's actually referring himself. He told me that he's not speaking properly and that he can't get his words out very well." And she said, "I don't really notice it that much, I don't think, but he, you know, for him, he asked me to call someone to help him with it." So she said, "That's what I'm doing." And immediately I was like, wow, this is fascinating. A 7-year-old who is referring himself pretty much. So I made the appointment and I saw this young man. And when he came in and I was listening to him speaking, sure enough, he did have a stutter or a stammer. So what that means is as he was speaking, he would repeat himself or he would pause and not be able to get his words out. And as he was speaking and he was checking in with me and he said, "You know, what's happening?" And I said, "Well, what you're describing or what you're experiencing is called a stutter." And he nodded and he said, "Okay. So when I'm married and I'm older, will my wife know that I used to stutter?" And I thought, wow. So apart from my initial thought of why is a 7-year-old thinking about marriage, but I was like, okay. Apart from that, I thought, wow, he has projected himself into the future. And he has described his stutter in the past tense. He has described it as something that was transient, something that he was able to move through successfully, something that used to be a part of him but no longer was. All in that one statement. And that was extraordinarily powerful. And I hope you can really grasp the power of what he said in that moment and what his belief was in that moment was he accepted this is what's happening now, but it's not part of my future. And he recognized that in his own, I would say, you know, innocent way. But he was a client who then went on to very quickly and very successfully move through his stuttering, to speak smoothly, to speak fluently, and to be discharged from the speech path clinic because he made such fast progress. And he has stood out. He's really stood the test of time. And I know that when there is that belief or thought energy that is complementing, that is serving you to your highest potential, to your highest possibility, that really makes a massive difference and it really fast tracks and boosts results. Now you can use that example across any and all areas of life, basically. This is the power of our thoughts. This is the power of our words and how we use them. Now this topic, of course, it is a topic that deems, and I do workshops on them. I work with people individually on this area over a number of months to have them reach mastery level. So know that this is very much an introduction. It's very much a 101. but I know that you can still grasp a lot of value in starting to build your awareness and starting to tweak little thoughts or beliefs you may have that are no longer serving you. And know that this will have a beautiful flow-on effect when it comes to the children who you share your life with. Wondering how your family can flourish without the sacrifice of your health, wealth, and dreams? Empowering a family to flourish is both an art and a science, and I'm super excited to have packaged decades of expertise to create the Flourishing Families program for you. It's time to shift the energy of your family ecosystem with more fun, more freedom, and more fulfillment. Head over to soniabeslich.com and sign up now. Now, of course, as parents and professionals who work with children, there are many children who do have that self-talk and self-communication that is not helpful to themselves. They may hold a belief pattern that is not true. And it's hard when you hear a child say to themselves, oh, you know, I'm so dumb, or I'm stupid, or I can't, you know, whatever it is. And our natural inclination as parents and professionals is to, you know, respond with, oh, you know, you're not dumb, you're very clever, and, you know, do all that kind of talk where we want them to feel better about themselves. But really, it doesn't get us too far, and it's not necessarily helping that child to move through that or to untangle from that energetic, you know, thread that they have going on there. And so I'll share a few steps in terms of how to respond in that circumstance and scenario. And obviously, you'd want to use your own judgment around how many of these steps you can actually take, depending on what the situation is. But I'll use an example of my son, for example. So I'd heard him say to himself, oh, I just have the worst memory. I'm not good at remembering things. I don't have a good memory. And my first step, and this is the first step, was curiosity. Where's that coming from? So rather than saying, oh, you've got a great memory, I was curious. I'm wondering, where is that belief, that thought coming from? So I asked the question, oh, you don't have a good memory. Tell me more about that. What's happening? And then he was able to explain that, you know, like I've forgotten something I needed from school. I needed it to do my homework and I've forgotten it at school and it happened last week and it's second time. And so he was explaining, but it helped me to understand the context of where that belief was coming from. And so that's the first step. Be curious. Where is a belief coming from? And then when my son was telling me about all of this, I had in mind that, you know, he had just started a new school. Also, we'd moved, so he was in a new home. He'd just started catching public transport. He had a whole change of routine and he was being hard on himself. And so what I was doing here was not making excuses for him, but I was considering the context. I was considering the context in which he was having and experiencing this belief and thought. And so that's the second thing, consider the context. And so in my response, as he was telling me all of this, I was explaining that, yeah, you know what? It would be great to have remembered those things you needed to bring home. Also, consider that you have started a new school, you're adjusting to a new routine. So we're going to come up with some new ways to remember what you need to remember. Then from there, the third step is to have a child come up with the evidence that supports that belief to be an untruth. So, for example, if I use the example of my son, rather than me saying, oh, you know, you have a great memory, like you remember mum's phone number, you remembered your sports gear and packing all that in your bag, like rather than me rattling off a list of all the things that I have seen that is evidence for him having a good memory, it's more powerful to guide him, to guide children to come up with the evidence themselves. And this process of the child having to think, and this goes for ourselves too, but this process of the child then having to think about, well, where have I shown that I have a good memory? Where have I been successful with this? And it can be small and it's okay. It's about gathering that evidence. It's about you guiding or asking questions, or what about that time when, what happened there? And then they can finish it off if they're really struggling to come up with evidence. So that's the third. So far we have be curious about where that belief or thought is coming from. You want to consider the context. Then you want to have your child come up with evidence that really supports a more fulfilling belief that's going to serve them better. And then the next step is you can ask, you know, is that something you want to change? So in the case of memory with my son, did you want to have a stronger memory? And, you know, with that question, but then has a child moving through being stuck in that cycle of feeling crap about themselves, they've got some evidence that is starting to debunk that belief, and then they're starting to move through to go, oh, okay, sure, I do want to strengthen my memory. And again, having them come up and lead the way with coming up with thoughts and ideas. And if they're stuck on that, you might offer some options or some different ways for them to be kind of actively choosing what are the ways that they can support themselves, what are the ways that you could support them with the change. But it helps them, as I said, to really shift from being and feeling disempowered to more of that energy of empowerment. And so that four-step process is a beautiful, empowering framework that you can start practicing and start building into those moments where you're feeling like you're identifying your child is recurring with a certain thought or belief, or that you are yourself. Because as I said at the start of this episode, this is something for you to really practice and fine tune, which is a powerful way to start showing your child how to start shifting the energy of their thoughts and their beliefs to better serve themselves and others. So what I'd love to encourage you to do is to consider three practical steps to really start, as I said, widening your lens and perspective on the power of your thoughts, your words, and how they're impacting your results. And so the first step you could do to start with yourself is retain a journal where you're just recording your thought patterns, the ones that are recurring over and over again. Where, you know, over a period of a week, for example, you might say, okay, this week I'm really just going to tune into what are the thoughts that might be coming through my mind. So yes, there'll be the mundane things, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to remember that, and all those to-dos, but then there'll be other thoughts there. And just be curious about what are the ones that are regularly coming up that could be limiting you, whatever that is. You know, oh, I'm not good at money, or I'm not an exercise person, or all of those things. What is it that's going through your mind or a belief or a thought pattern that could be limiting you? This is really eye-opening and you want to be playful with it. This is not an exercise that's about feeling shame or guilt or, oh my gosh, like what am I doing to myself? It's not about that. It's about being curious and playful and being observant, going, wow, I didn't realize what I have automatically made part of my normal thought stream that perhaps is not that helpful. So I'd love for you to start with something like that. And the second step would be, once you've had that opportunity to look over those recurring thought patterns or, you know, beliefs that come up that you think that may not be serving me anymore, I'd love for you to question it and to question its complete truth. So for example, oh, I'm not an exercise person. You might say, well, is that completely true? And it could be that if you dig down a little deeper, you might be saying, well, I don't like exercising at the gym. It's like, aha, okay. So it's more the context. It's the gym that is where you don't like exercising. But I like walking in nature, or I enjoy dancing, or I love tennis with friends. And so you can start to flip or challenge those thoughts or those beliefs that you are saying to yourself that really aren't completely true. And you can be more specific around them. And that's just one example of many, many, many. And the third and really powerful practical step that I'd love for you to consider applying. And this is something you can do right now. And it's super powerful. All of this is super powerful, obviously, for our children. But we've got to start with ourselves first. Then it makes it easier for our children to see and understand how it works and to absorb that model from you. So the third one, we want to stop thinking in terms of comparison. So this is a big, big one. We want to stop thinking in terms of comparison, and we want to start thinking and feeling more in the energy of celebration. Because our comparison thoughts, these can be really subtle and a little bit sneaky in our brains. And they happen so fast. And it could just be simply that, you know, you might be scrolling, looking at something, and you have a very quick thought to yourself. So you might think, oh, my hair's not like that. Oh, my hair's not as shiny as that, or whatever it is. And those comparison thoughts, they're like little nudges energetically that kind of say, well, you're not enough, you're not good enough, and, you know, there's something missing, there's something wrong, there's something you need to fix. All of those things. This is a big, big topic in itself. But I'd love for you to be aware that there is this almost automatic little button in our brains that does trigger those subtle comparison thoughts. So I'd love for you to practice identifying these. Practice identifying these and breaking the circuitry. So what does that look like? And I'm going to share a little excerpt from Flourish for Mums from my book, all about how to thrive with self-care and acceptance. And the passage here says, if you find your mind quietly playing the comparison game with someone else, whether it be comparing looks, personality traits, lifestyle, or material things, you are likely on a thought path that will lead you to feeling down about yourself. So how do you stop it? So step one, you catch that thought and acknowledge that your brain has hit the compare and contrast button. And step two, you break the circuitry with a thought and feeling. Feeling is the key element here. Thought and feeling of celebration toward whatever that other person has or does. This will retrain your brain to build others up instead of tearing them or yourself down. Now, anytime I've found this occurring to me, I acknowledge that something about a person has brought up to the surface an insecurity that I probably have about myself or my situation. And I'm aware that it's my stuff, so I can own it, and then I choose what I want to do with it. And so the more we practice this, the more we practice and identify the comparison thoughts that we have, and we break that circuitry of comparison, the more self-accepting we become, the more we build others up and ourselves, which is an absolute core element when it comes to raising empowered humans.
Thanks for joining the Chat About Children with Sonia Vestelich. www.chataboutchildren.com.